If this music has blessed your heart tonight, you say a heartfelt amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, wow. Wow, I just could hardly stay in my seat. It's so moving. And what a wonderful day we've had. Thank the Lord for all the effort, work, labor, prayer that's gone into this advance. And I thank the Lord that we're here together. Turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. You know, if we're going to pray without ceasing, you notice this? Pray without ceasing. If we're going to have fervent, effectual prayer lives, we must have a relationship with God the Father through God the Son. But it's not enough just to have a relationship. Did you hear me? It's not enough just to have a relationship. We must have a right relationship. Now, today I talked to the girls, and they were so open. They were so honest. They were so humble. I'd like to ask us all a question. I've been working with young people now, as I said earlier to them, probably 25 years. And one of the joys of my heart in life is being able to be in a setting like this to preach to you. I am so overwhelmed at the honor it is to be here with you. There's just nothing like preaching, teaching, ministering to young people. One thing I love about you is you're so typically so open most of the time. But I asked the girls a question, they were honest. I want to ask us all a question. And I believe that you're going to be honest. How many of you came here to these days together for this prayer advance and you realize, you know, in your life, there's some things in your heart that ought not be in your life. There's some things in your life that ought not be in your life. They may be sins of the flesh. They may be sins of the spirit. But you would say, Brother Sammy, with heads up and eyes open, I'm aware that in my life there's some areas that need some change and correction, perhaps even confession. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Oh, my. God bless you. My, oh, my, oh, my. What a Savior. What a wonderful group. Well, tonight, you're going to have an opportunity to transfer the raised hand to a bended knee. You're going to have an opportunity tonight to pillow your head with a clear conscience, with a clean heart, if you choose to obey the Lord. And you know what I believe? I have prayed believing, I believe, and expecting. I believe that we're going to see a moving of God tonight here in this place. It is going to be unusual. And right now, I say to God and to God alone be the glory. Because only He could give you the humility and the honesty to raise your hand like you just did. Only He is going to be able to give you the grace to humble yourself. Do you need grace? Do you need the power of God in your life to overcome the sinful habits, the sins of the flesh or spirit that you wrestle with? How do you get that? Well, God resists the proud, but He gives grace, listen, to the humble. To the humble. We've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. I'd like to bring a message tonight by the grace of God. I simply have entitled, The Great Cover-Up. One verse, Proverbs 28:13. Would you read this with me out loud? Ready? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now listen, and with your eyes look, and with your heart hear. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Do you want to prosper in your life? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You can prosper, but you have to meet God's conditions. Confession and forsaking. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I love You. But I confess, Lord, I don't think I love You like I ought to. And I want to live for You, Lord. And I confess, I'm not convinced that I live for You like I ought to, but I want to. And I thank You that You've given me that desire. For it's God that worketh in us to will and do of His good pleasure. And I give You praise tonight. I thank You at how this day You have worked in my heart. And I want to thank You for the music the songs that we sung, the groups that shared, the testimonies we've heard, the session with the leaders earlier, just the literature, reading over that, I was convicted regarding areas in my life. Oh, God, please work in me and continue your work in me and work in all our hearts. Give my precious friends here tonight the liberty, the grace, the humility, the courage to humble themselves, to leave here different than what we came. And Father, as always, I acknowledge without you I can do nothing. And I cry out to you for your grace. Help me to preach on my knees in my heart. Help me to preach the truth in love, dear Lord. And then, Father, help me to practice the truth I preach. And help me always to give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was a kid. I'm not really sure how old I was, but I was young. And my mom and dad had given me a Daisy BB gun. Any of you have ever received a Daisy BB gun? Well, for some of you, I'm probably going to tell your story right now. But my dad drove a truck, so he was gone a lot. Hard worker, and I love him, and I thank God for him. But he was gone a lot. But my mom was really the general in the home, in his absence and sometimes in his presence, you know. But she was tough, boy. But she gave me this gun, and Dad did it. And my mom, I remember her specifically saying, "Now, son, you see this gun?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, Mama." She said, "Don't you ever point this gun at any living thing." "Yes, ma'am." "What else would you say?" "You said what I said. If you had my mama, I know you'd have said what I said. I'll tell you that." And anyway, so I took that Daisy BB gun, and Dad gave me some targets. I set them up on the fence posts out there. We had horses and fence, and I tore those targets up. Man, I got good. I could tear that target up. I tore them to shreds, those targets. Well, I ran out of targets, then I got me some cans. I set up some Coke cans. I like the ting, ting, the sound they make. I really enjoyed that. Then I set up pine cones, and I just had a big old time with my BB gun. And one day I was out in the woods with my BB gun, and I looked up on a limb, and there was a red bird. I mean, I said, "Wow, that's a bird up there." I said, I know that's a long ways away. I said, "Why not? I'm just going, ain't no way I could hit it," but... Timber! Ah, hit the ground. Man, I ran over that bird. I looked around. I thought, what in the world happened to him? He's having a seizure. And I said, "Oh, my, he's having a seizure." And wait a minute. Aim, cock, aim, shoot, fall. Flutter, the evidence is still alive. I realized, I shot a living thing. Not only did I point at a living thing, I have shot it and it's still alive. What are you going to do? Then I crawled to the barn stealthily in an most athletic manner. And it's your story, tell it how you want to hear it, right? But anyway, I get a shovel. I creep back out into the woods. I dig a hole. How deep? Very deep, all right? I drop the state bird of North Carolina into the hole. I cover the hole. I cover it with pine straw. And like a good, stealthily, disobedient son, okay? I couldn't get the words in my head. But I backtrack and I cover pine straw. Mama will never find this. Well, you know what? She didn't. I got away with it. I was out in the woods another day. Got away with that one? Yeah. This is good. But you know what? Sin always grows in your life. It never stays small. And one day, I was in my backyard, and my next door neighbor, Pat Simmons, she was probably 4 years old. You know what I saw? Geronimo. With war paint and a tomahawk looking at me like she wanted my scalp. I said, "That ain't gonna happen." Hey, I didn't hear anything. I don't have any BBs in my gun. My mind's just going crazy. Point, aim. Wah! 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 I mean, she goes crazy. I run over to her and I think, "Is she having a seizure?" And then all of a sudden, boom, Point. Aim. Shoot. Might be taking it a little bit too far, you think? So I decided another course of action was necessary. Mama, I done shot the neighbor's daughter. You think that's what I did? If you do, you're dumber as a rock. I'm going to tell you that. You know what I did? Pat, let's talk. Pat, I'm so sorry. She's still crying. Well, Billy's, she didn't have a shirt on. That was not modesty. Okay? Okay. She deserved to be disciplined. You like that, don't you? Yes, sir. Keep your shirts on when you play in my backyard. All right. I look down at her belly, man, and it's just swelling up. I mean, man, I hit her dead on. So her mother later said, you could have put her eye out. I said, I was aiming for her belly, please. I said, Pat, please don't tell on me. I'm begging you. If you tell on me, my mama's going to shoot me and bury me in the back there. I promise you, Pat, please don't tell on me. I said, what are you going to do the rest of the day? Play. I said, I tell you what, if you won't tell on me, I'll play with you all day. The most miserable day in my whole life. We played baby dolls. We played mud pies. We played just disgusting, sickening. I can't cuss in here. I mean, it was just awful. I wasted the whole day trying to cover my sin. And at the very end of the day, I heard, Sammy, my mama calling me. I said, okay. Last thing I said to Pat, you promised you wouldn't tell on me. I'd promise we could play tomorrow. I wish I had a shot. Anyway. So I go home. She goes home. Guess what happened? You know what happened. I mean, no more than 5 minutes after she got home, the phone rang. And I thought it was the hotline to the White House. It started glowing. Her mother was on fire. I could hear her through the phone. She had put Pat in the tub and saw the little red mark. I said, what happened to you? She said, Timmy shot me! Why in the world did I do that? Same reason you do. You know what I wondered tonight? Do you have any secrets? I know you do. You know you do. You've been playing hide and seek with God? Is that a dumb game? Is that a foolish thing to do? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Why do we do that? We all do it. Is that not true? Can I give you a wave? Yeah. I mean, can you give me a wave? You did. Thank you. All right. What are the causes of this? Why do we do this? Well, number one, the depravity of man. There's none righteous, no, not one. What is it about us? And we're on the computer and we're clicking and we're looking. We think everybody's asleep. All of a sudden, there's this sixth sense that kicks in and suddenly you realize there's someone standing in the door. And quickly, you're dead caught. And you say, Dad, I'm so glad you caught me. Mom, I'm so glad you're here. I've been wanting to talk to you about this for so long. Is that what you do? No, you're going... Oh, what was that you're on? I'm not sure. I was just browsing. I don't know what it was, Mom. Right? Why do we do that? Because in our very nature, we're depraved. In our very nature, our initial response to being caught in our sin is to cover up. You know what? We see this in our culture. You know what? It seems like every day in the newspaper, I read about a cover-up. Here's a Coach Tressel. Here's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here's this person and that person. There's too many to mention. Every day in the news and the television, it's just another cover-up, you know? Sometimes years in the making. But why? Because we're all depraved. Because, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know why we sin? You know why we cover our sin? Because we're sinners. You know what sinners are good at? Brother Harold said it. Sinning. You know what? We ought to stop being so surprised when people sin. We ought to be shocked when they do right. If we understand our theology that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we ought to recognize that doing right is a testimony of the grace of God, the power of God. It's natural to do wrong. It's supernatural to do right. So the depravity of man. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every person in every chair, in every seat in this place, and those across this community and city, our state, the world, all have gone astray. All of us have this magnet to go astray, to cover, to hide and cover. We all do it. Why though? What more? The depravity of man. And in that context, we see the pleasures of sin. The Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. Remember that? For a season. The season ends, the pain begins. There is pleasure of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. A lot of people just love sin. It feels good. Don't you let anybody tell you it doesn't feel good. Sin feels good. There is pleasure associated with sin. But the problem with that is this. On every rose is thorns. And for every sin, there's a consequence. And you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. You may choose your sin, but then your sin is going to begin choosing for you. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Men love darkness rather than light, John 3 says. But it's not only the pleasure of sin, it's the pain of discovery. John Edwards grew up not far from where I live. Covered a relationship. Why? Because it was uncomfortable. It was embarrassing. The consequences. It was a blow to our pride. I remember as a teenager, I got in trouble. I was always in trouble as a teen in my high school. If somebody had told my high school principal that I would be a youth pastor and in ministry one day preaching young people, he'd have laughed. He told me one time in my face, I never thought you'd amount to anything. And I can say this to the glory of God. If there's any good in my life, it's not me, it's him. I can promise you that. But you know what? The pleasure of sin, the pain of embarrassing circumstances. I got in trouble, as I was saying. And for 3 days, do anybody like this? I hid out in my home. You ever hide in your home? I would walk by my mom and dad when I got home from school, and I wouldn't even look at them. I'd go to my room, close the door, put on the music, read a book, do something just to hide. And every time the phone rang, it was like, ooh, ooh, there it is again. And finally, on the third day, the phone rang, and it was time to meet with the officers and some neighbor kids and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's so uncomfortable. We don't like to be honest. I was dealing with a young man. His mother called me on a Sunday evening. Sunday afternoon, she was crying so hard she couldn't talk. She'd been in church, and her son had told her something that day in church at another church. And I had known this family for some time. I get a lot of calls here and there. And that night after church, I went over, and he shared with me, with his mother, about how he had been sodomized for 2 years. Viciously. And he was so ashamed. He was so embarrassed. He didn't want to talk about it. But he, little by little, over time, he really opened up. But you know, sometimes things happen that are shameful. And it's painful to be honest. It's painful. What will they think? What will they say? What will they do? We just don't like to be uncomfortable. A lady visited our church, invited by my mom. You know what she told my mom when she left? I was preaching. She said, "He made me feel like a sinner." You know what I call that? The conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. That was a compliment. God used me. God worked. But she didn't like to be made uncomfortable, nor do you, nor do I. You know why else we don't want to confess our sin? We want to cover it. Pleasure, pain, pride. Bottom line, pride is the problem. What's the middle letter of the word pride? What? What's the middle letter of the word sin? What's the middle letter of the word Lucifer? That's the problem, pride. And you know what? I'm praying that God will allow you and give you the grace to be humble tonight and not let pride keep you from confessing sin, of getting right with Him so you can pray in the Spirit, so you can enjoy a faithful, effectual, fervent prayer life in the Lord. Not only pride, not only pain, not only pleasure, but the prison of sin. Pete Rose wrote a book, My Prison Without Bars. He gambled on baseball and lied about it for 14 years. His book, great title. He told the truth that time, My Prison Without Bars. You know, oftentimes we get caught up in sin. You know, you hear these words, addiction. You know what the Bible calls that? The bondage of iniquity. The Bible says in John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin, practices sin, listen, is the servant of sin. Any sin repeated in your life grows in its power over your life. Right. And one day the sin you do will be doing you, because the Bible says evil pursueth sinners. And his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins, the Bible says in Proverbs 5:22. The iron grip of sinful habits that are so serious and so debilitating. And then not only depravity of man, the decision of man. Man chooses to cover sin. He that covereth his sin, the word covereth means to plump, to cover for clothing or secrecy. It means to conceal or hide. Okay? We conceal or hide our sin. The word sins there means a revolt, a rebellion against God. Understand this, that the sin that we cover, be it a sin of the spirit, a sin of the flesh, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's pride, maybe it's an attitude of disrespect to mom and dad, maybe it's an immoral issue, maybe you're cutting, maybe you're anorexic and bulimia, and you're defiling the temple of God. I've dealt with so many teens that are battling that. Listen, it's a decision that you make to cover your sin. And your sin, my sin, is rebellion against a holy God. When Joseph was tempted to sin, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? David, when he was confessing his sin, said, in thy sight I have sinned. All sin is in the sight of God. And first and foremost, my dear friends, your sin, my sin, is against God. It's against God. And we make decisions to sin. Adam and Eve, they decided to eat it, then they decided to beat it. Tried to cover their sin. Cain, he decided to kill, and then he decided to conceal his sin. Achan, he decided to steal, then he decided to store. But in every case, what they sowed, they reaped. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. You know what the consequence was? Death. Are we surprised? The wages of sin is death. Death to joy in the Lord. Death to fellowship with other believers. Death to service for God. Death to delight in the Word of God. Sin robs. Sin takes. Satan lies and says sin gives. Sin always takes more than it gives. You sow sin, you reap trouble. They that sow sin will sow the wind, are going to reap the whirlwind, the Bible says. Not only, though, the depravity of man, the decision of man, but the deceit of man. The Bible says in James 1, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It is interesting to me that in Romans 1, when God chooses to judge a man, he doesn't sick a legion of demons on him. He doesn't say, Satan, he's yours. You know what he does? He gives him over to fulfill the lust of his own heart. The greatest enemy you have is you. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. I'm preaching to the preachers. I'm preaching to the youth leaders. I'm preaching to the youngest teen here and the oldest teen here. I'm preaching to me. I have a flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The Bible says in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Young people, this is a serious message. If you will take this to heart, if you will get right with God, be that meaning you need to be saved. Maybe that's the big cover-up. Yeah, I'm saved, but you're not. Your lips say one thing, your life says another. Examine yourselves to be sure you're in the faith. You get right with God, this could save your marriage. Could save your life. It could help your parents to enjoy a longer life. And on we could go. The character of covering sin, we talked about the causes. And by the way, may I say this just for a moment? When we cover our sin, we're revealing something about ourselves. We don't have the right view of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Let's just soak our hearts in the Word of God just for a moment here, can we? You hear that? The eyes of man are before the ways of man, are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. That sin you are covering, he's got a record. He's got it. It's all there. That touch, that text, that look, that lingering look, that prison without bars that you're in and you can't get free, you can't let go of it. You're trapped. He knows. He knows. Psalm 69:5 says, O God, thou knowest my foolishness. Listen. And my sins are not hid from thee. Proverbs 15:11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Psalm 94:9, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Psalm 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. He knows our thoughts. The Bible says in Psalm 139, he knows our down-sitting, our uprising. He understands our thoughts afar off. You can't hide from him. Stop running from him and run to him. Run to him, as Josh said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He's waiting for you to confess, and I want to give him praise right now for the confession that's coming tonight in this place. And I believe that with all my heart. Psalm 90, verse 8, thou set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Jeremiah 16:17, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways," the Lord says. "They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." I am praying that there are young men right now, that wish we'd have an invitation right now, because you're under conviction right now. And young ladies, the same. But the character is evident. You know, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. It's no fun living life looking over your shoulder. It's no fun looking and missing God's best in your life. When David sinned and he finally got right with God, the Lord said to him, "I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." Can you imagine living your whole life and looking back over your life and thinking, "Man, I wasted it when I could have invested it. I was covering my sin when I should have confessed my sin. I've missed the joy of the Lord, the fellowship of God." Can you imagine that? And it's gone. It's gone. It's over. It's gone. Oh my. My heart's so full. And I could go on and on with the character, because there's so many things. Depression is one of the marks of someone who's covering sin. Do you know anybody like that? Church is filled with people on medication today. I'm not saying don't take medication. I'm saying this. We better examine our hearts. There are physical issues that cause depression. I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody in that sense at all, but I'm saying this. There are issues that we need help with. I talked to a lady, her young son was visiting our youth group. Her husband had died 8 years previous to that time, and she had never come to church. He had been inviting her. He had begged me, "Please, ask every time I'd see him, ask my mom to come to church." I'd visit him. I'd call to the point that I was a pest. One day I called him because he missed youth group. I said, "Brock, where are you?" He's now a police officer, stopped my wife when she was speeding, gave her a warning ticket. God is good, amen, you know. And I thought I'd just fill that little commercial break in there, all right. And once in a while, a little hug from heaven helps, you know what I'm saying, praise the Lord. But that night, he was on the phone. He said, "Sammy, please talk to my mom, please talk to my mom." I said, "Brock, I'm a pest, I've crossed the line." He said, "Please invite my mom to church." He was so burdened for his mom. Got on the phone with her. First thing I said, "Gene, I'm sorry. I know I'm a pest. I've bugged you. I've called you. I've knocked on your door. I've visited you. But your son is so burdened for you to come to church." And all of a sudden, that night, for whatever reason, in God's sovereign plan, God touched her heart. She began to open up. She'd been on medication for 8 years. She'd been to psychiatrists, psychologists, spent thousands of dollars. I used to work in a mental health unit a couple of years. I was lost as I could be, lost as a goose flying backwards in a hailstorm. I didn't have any answers. The doctors didn't have any answers. They had drugs. They have anything for the heart that produced real lasting change. And I was talking to her, and I said, "Let me tell you what all these doctors are telling you." She spent thousands of dollars, hundreds of hours in a counseling chair. I said, "Let me tell you what they're telling you. They're telling you to go to a party, to have a beer, to go out on a date, live your life, move beyond what's happened in the past." She said, "That's exactly what they're telling me." I said, "Let me tell you what I'm telling you. You've been crying every day for 8 years. You're smarter than all of them. You should have been crying every day for 8 years." Because by that time, I'd recognize something about her. She didn't have any hope. She didn't have him. She didn't have Jesus Christ as her Savior. Thank God that night she knelt in her little bedroom. I knelt in my office and I led her to Jesus Christ over the phone. She works as a dispatcher for the county. We had a group come to minister in our church not long ago. I said, I got to go by the sheriff's office. I said, "I got to warn you, there's a lady there and she's going to hug me when she sees me." I said, "Just understand, it's going to happen." He said, "A lady's going to hug you?" I said, "Yeah, I'll tell you the story later." So we walked in. As I walked in, I was telling that. And we walked in at the counter there. They all know me there, not because I've been in jail, because I visit a lot, and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I'm there, and I see her, and she's on the phone, and she's doing the computer. I said, "What happened today?" I said, "I can't believe it." And all of a sudden, she looked up, she saw me. She put the phone down, came out of her office, came over me, and gave me a big old hug. I liked it. I'm married and I liked it. You say, "You ought not be hugging a woman." Well, that's between you and the Lord, but I liked it. She's my sister in Jesus Christ, and that's her way of expressing her joy at what God had done in our relationship, but most importantly, in her relationship to Jesus Christ. What was her problem? She was covering the fact that she was lost without Christ. She was painting her face, painting the symptoms in her life, trying to cover up the fact that she was lost as she could be and needed the Lord, friends. Another time, I remember a teenager in my office who was covering up. Her sister had brought her. Her sister had brought her, and she was just going crazy. She was living in sin, awful, wicked sin, vile, just disobeying her parents, rebellious. We're sitting there. This sister is college age, loves the Lord. This sister is a teenager, young teen, and she's just out there. I listen. The sister's broken for her sister. And as the Lord led, I asked this question. I looked her in the eye and I said, young lady, have you ever been sexually abused? And it was as if someone had reached in her heart and hit a switch. She began to sob. She began to shake. She couldn't stop. Her sister that had brought her turned white as a ghost, almost fainted in the chair. Her father's in prison today. But what was going on in this girl's life? In her bitterness, we're going to preach about that, Lord willing, as the Lord leads later this weekend or this week. In her bitterness, she was trying to find some relief in sin. And there is some relief in sin for a season. She was covering a shameful event in her life. And you know what? I could go on and on and on. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Brother Harold, I need your help. I'd like you to stand over here. You stand here, will you, brother? Now, I want to be reverent here. I don't want to be irreverent, but Brother Harold is going to represent the Lord. Is that okay? Okay. He's a godly man, okay? I didn't say he's God. He's a godly man. He's going to be a representation of the Lord. Now, I want you to help me for a minute. When it comes to sins of the spirit, a lot of hands in the air. I know this may be a little uncomfortable for you. Or sins of the flesh. What are some typical sins that teenagers might be guilty of? Just name one. Anybody?
Lust.
Who said that? Okay. Brother, I need you to come up here and help me, will you? You're going to represent lust. Is that okay? John, thank you very much, okay? Anybody want to join him? Just kidding. But anyway, okay. Yeah, some of you need to, okay? Some young ladies here need to. What's another sin teens are typically guilty of?
Bitterness.
Bitterness. I need bitterness. Who wants to be bitterness for me? Josh, will you help me? I know you're not bitter. Come on up, but you represent bitterness. Come on up here. Josh, you're bitterness. What's another one over here? Anybody, quickly.
Rebellion.
Oh, disrespect. You know, disobedience. Come on up here, rebellion. There you go. That's Daniel. Did you say rebellion or did you? Oh, my goodness. We got a big rebellion back there. Okay. All right. Okay. We got rebellion. We got lust. We got bitterness. What else? What's another one? Help me quickly. Lying. Yeah, come on. Come on up here and be lying for me. Okay. Okay. Lying is going to be over here. What's another one? Anybody got any more? Yes, ma'am. Drug use. Alcohol use. I need another guy. Got to be a guy. Yeah, come on up, young man. That'd be great. What's your name? Chris, come on up, Chris. You're going to okay. Yeah, you know where to go. That's right. Join the crowd, okay? All right. Join the sinful crowd over there. One more. Anybody else think of anything?
Apathy.
Oh, absolutely. Apathy. Who wants to be apathy? Come on up, big guy. Get over here, okay? Now, that's enough. Hey, could we go on and on and on and on? In your mind, what is it? What is it in your life? You got it? You got it? You got it? Good. Brother Harold represents the Lord. I'm trying to live for God. I want to live for God. I want to walk with God. But I've got all this sin that's affecting my relationship with my God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get to God. But sin, your job is to keep me from God. Okay? Are you with me? I don't believe you're man enough to do it. Do you? Have you noticed how quickly I walk across this platform? I'm probably too quick for every one of you. Okay? Okay? Okay, let's don't hurt Brother Sammy. All right. Okay, that was good. All right, let's start over. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to church. This ain't working. I can't quite get where I need to be. I'm going to church. That'll make a difference. I'm even going to give some money when the offering plate comes in. That's what I'm going to do. And this is going to really work. Okay, wait a minute. Give me just a minute here. Let me get my stance set. You ready? Hey, Chris. You might better take those glasses off, buddy, because I'm going to bowl you over. Okay? You got them off? You got them? Yeah. Excuse me, Josh. I just need to get through here for a minute. Come on, guys. I need to get to God, man. I got some things in my life. I got some things. All right. Just don't get too close here. I mean, boy, sin will take over. You know what I'm saying? Sin will keep you from going where you want to go and getting where you want to be and doing what you need to do. And I'm really mad now. Okay, you ain't going to keep me from my God. I'm telling you that. You ain't. Oh, I guess you did. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me, okay? Hey, guys, y'all have a seat. Give them a hand, okay? Hey, listen, I'm very serious about this. God's very serious about this. You see all that sin? You think you're just going to walk into God's presence with sin in your life, unconfessed? God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, thou will not hear me. Some of you have tried to pray it already this day, and you're not getting anywhere. You know why? You got dirt in your heart. You got sin in your life. You know what? I know what that's like. Trying to pray and you can't. God, where are you? You know what the question is? Sammy, where are you? I haven't moved. It reminds me of the old couple riding down the road in a pickup truck, and they see a young married couple, and they're all over each other. I mean, you can't see where one stops and one starts. And the old man over in the truck says, grandma looks over at the couple and says, hey, grandpa, I remember we used to ride like that. Grandpa looked at her and said, I ain't moved. Hey, God hasn't moved. I've moved. You've moved. We've moved. He never changes. He is holy. Holy, holy. And if we're going to have prayer, if we're going to have an effectual prayer life, we've got to be holy as He is holy. He commands that of us in 1 Peter. And you'll never be holy covering your sin. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Shall not prosper. The cure. The cure. Confession. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. You know, here's the picture. Confess means to, let me read this, to use, to hold out the hand, to throw away. Here's the picture. Covering sin. Man, I love this sin. I don't want anybody to know. What will they say if they find out? God already knows. Here's confession. Lord, I've sinned against you. I'm guilty. You know it. I know it. We know it. I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to repent. 2 Corinthians 7 talks about repentance. You want to see what it really looks like? You study that. We don't have time to go there. We must realize that we sinned against God. We sinned against the one who loves us, the one who gave himself for us, the one who died on the cross. He became sin. So that we might be made righteous. Because He loves you. He loves me. He longs to have intimate fellowship with us in prayer. He wants to be our best friend. But He hasn't moved. We move. Why don't we move toward Him? We must realize that we're responsible. David said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. In our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we don't need to be standing on the air hose. You know what I'm saying? We need to get off the air hose, quit covering, quit blocking the grace of God flowing through our lives, confess our sin, and be willing to forsake it. Camp last week, dealing with a teenager. She's in a relationship physically with a young man. She battled all week. Never let it go. Would never let him go for God. You know what she's guilty of? Breaking the first commandment. Idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. She has put him before God and herself before God. Repentance. Repentance is necessary. The prodigal son repented. You know what he did in his repentance? Man, I have a good father. The father in the story in Luke 15, the prodigal son, was a picture of the Father of God in heaven. He said, I have a good father, and I've sinned against heaven and against my father, and I'm going to go back to him and tell him, I'm no worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. He judged himself. He judged himself. I was in jail, visiting in jail. May I clarify that? But anyway, I was in A block dealing with some felons. There were about 8 or 12 guys there, and I'd been doing it for 2 years, going in there. The Lord led. Don't have time to talk about that. But I'm in there, and one day they're complaining and complaining and complaining about why they're there. The state's charged them unfairly, inequitably, and nothing's fair in life. And I just got fed up with it. I'd known them. There was a murder in their midst, and there was this one and that one and the other. I said, guys, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever committed sin for which you were never caught? You know what they did to a man? Here it is. They dropped their head. I said, that's what I thought. I said, have you ever considered that God has you in here for those sins that you never got caught for? I said, if you're really serious about being right with God, you'll call your attorney or you'll talk to the jailer here and you'll confess those sins and do whatever you have to do to make it right before God and man. Boy, you know what? They got real excited. You know what I did? I went home. Hey, man, you're in a felon block. It's time to go home when they get under real conviction. They don't want to repent. It's time for me to repent. Get out of there. But anyway, and I did. Listen, a soft pillow, a clear conscience makes for a soft pillow. And may I tell you a story? The cure is simply confession. Calling sin, sin. Agreeing with God about your sin. Being honest. It's not complicated, but it's very difficult because it takes humility. And one story and I'm done. I had the privilege many years ago. I love this. When somebody calls me and said, Sammy, Wanda Kelly at that time, Terry, she was a Kelly. At that time, she called me and said, listen, April Fields, her husband, is going to have brain surgery in 2 days, and he's not saved. And I was wondering, would you visit him? Oh, my, are you kidding me? I'm ready to go. So I go over to Ricky Fields' house, and I knock on the door. He opens the door. His head's shaved in preparation for the brain surgery. And I say, Ricky, my name's Sammy Fry. And I understand, I had a little chit-chat talk there. I said, look, I understand you got a serious surgery in a couple of days, and you might not survive. I'd really like to talk to you about some spiritual matters, if you'd give me that liberty. He said, sure, come on out. Been on the back porch, had a glass of tea there, and I shared the gospel with him. After we were done, we were sitting there, and I said, Ricky, what do you think? I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Ricky. I said, I'm going to pray for you, and if you believe the Lord's worked in your heart and you want to make a decision, I'd like to help you today. And so I prayed, and I said, amen, and I looked up. I just sat there, didn't say anything, which is very unusual for me, okay, as you can probably tell already. But anyway, I just sat there, and then finally, Ricky said, with no emotion whatsoever, he said, let's do it. He said, let's do it. I said, are you serious? I'm looking for a tear in the eye, maybe, maybe one would. I've learned something about tears. They don't mean a thing. They can mean a lot, but they don't always mean anything. It may just be remorse or regret. But he knelt with me in the beautiful summer sunshine on that porch, and he made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. He looked up. I looked up. There wasn't any emotion. I learned later, that's just his personality. No emotion at all. I said, well, Ricky, did you mean that with all your heart? He said, yep. I said, you realize that the Bible says that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. I'm thinking, there's joy in heaven. How about a little joy here? I mean, just a little bit, maybe a hug. I mean, a lot of people give me a hug, and I'm kind of into hugs, as you can tell. Even when guys give me a hug and they get saved, man, I think it's great. I'm going to hug them to heaven. You know what I'm saying? And, I left. I thought, man, what was that about? What was that? Well, he had his brain surgery, and he got well, kinda. He never could drive again. And one day he called me at work, and it's the weirdest thing. He was the kind of guy, Brother Harold, do you ever have anybody call you, and they don't really call you because they got something to say. They just want to talk. They don't have anything to do. So he would call me, and he'd say, hey, Brother Sammy, how you doing? And that'd be the end of his conversation. Then I'd have to carry the conversation, work me slammed to death. Well, how are you doing, Ricky? You having a good day? What you been doing? What you not been doing? It just wear me slap out. I love that boy, but man, he'd wear me out. And then he started doing this. He would call me and said, got into Southern gospel music. He'd call me and say, Brother Sammy, I got a song I want you to hear. And before I could say hello, he'd take the phone and put it up to the speaker and hold it there for 5 minutes. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I can't hang up on him. And he'd come back and he said, did you like that one? I said, he said, check this one out. Boom, And I'm sitting there for 30 minutes listening to music I really don't want to hear. And I'm thinking, and one day, he called me. He called me. And he said, Sammy, I need to talk to you about something. I said, wait a minute, let me get on my knees by my chair. Are you kidding me? I didn't say that, but I'm thinking, what? What? He said, yeah. He said, something's really been bothering me. I said, tell me about it. What is it, man? I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. He said, Sammy, lately I don't know why I've been thinking about this, but he was 24 years old. He said, when I was 13 years old, I went into my daddy's bedroom, and I went on my daddy's dresser, and his wallet was there, and I took money out of my daddy's wallet, and I stole money from my own father. He said, I don't know why, but it's been bothering me every day. I can't get it off my mind. He said, what should I do? I said, Ricky, what do you think you ought to do? He said, I think I ought to go to my daddy and tell him the truth. I think I ought to go to my daddy and confess my sin. I said, and we talked about the Lord in this whole thing. Yeah, you've been forgiven, but God's dealing with you about this. He wants you to do what's right. He said, I think I ought to go to my daddy and offer to pay it back. I said, I think that's a good plan. I'd had something similar in my own past. I shared that with him. And so he went to his father, confessed his sin, when at 13 years old he stole money from his own dad, offered to pay it back. You know what his dad did? He started crying. His dad was lost. But his dad saw Jesus Christ alive in a young man. You know what happened? Ricky later died. Tumor grew, he died. But I like to think about this. That day that Ricky went to his father, in my mind's eye, and this is just me, understand that, my opinion, my thoughts, I like to think through things. I'm thinking, what was it like in heaven when Ricky went to his dad? I imagine the Lord up there, and he's watching, and he's worked through the Holy Spirit in Ricky's life, and he says, "Hey, Gabriel, come here, man. Come here. Check this out. Watch this. Hey, Michael, get over here quick. Watch this. What's going on, Lord? Watch him honor me. Watch him do what's right. Hey, Paul, the fruit of your labor, look what I have done in his life. Watch this." And as they watched, perhaps the angels along with Paul and some of the saints of God gathered over the portal of heaven, and they all with great joy watched a young man who had confessed his sin, who was going to be reconciled to his father, who was doing the great thing, the right thing with great shame and embarrassment on his heart, but knew God had dealt in his heart. He did what was right. And I often think, what would it have been like if he hadn't done it and he had died? He was going to heaven, no question about that. Can you imagine standing for the Lord and Ricky saying, "Lord, you know what, there's one thing you already know about that. Wish I'd have done that. Yeah, Ricky, I wish you'd have done it too. But you know what, you're here, and we're here, and Ricky's there, but you can do it. You can confess right here and forsake your sin. You can enjoy a clean, clear conscience before God, and if you need to go home and make some things right, before man." And many of you raised your hand. Would you stand to your feet, please? Father, please bless this, your invitation, as only you can do. Please draw young men and young ladies to this altar where they might confess their sin and even consider the need to forsake it. Right now, Lord, even as I pray, may they come. May you give them the grace of humility to humble themselves and bow before you. As you look upon this meeting, and perhaps as the angels of God look upon this meeting, may we delight heaven tonight. May we be moved in our heart to realize that to cover sin is to deny the very character of God and to defile ourselves and others. Oh, Father, bring young men and young ladies, bring dads and moms and youth leaders and pastors and youth pastors, whoever it may be here that have been covering sin and need to get things right. Maybe it's a sin of the attitude or bitterness or ungratefulness whatever it may be, a vengeful spirit, Lord. Maybe it's a sin of the flesh. Maybe there are those here who've reached out in vengeance and hurt others and gossiped and done things that have caused grief to the lives of others. Maybe there are young men and young ladies here who are disobedient and disrespectful and broken the hearts of their moms and dads, who didn't speak to mom or dad when they left to come here to this very place. Lord, I pray you'd work in all our hearts for your glory, by your grace. Because he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Lord, work in the heart of your people tonight. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's covering the reality and truth that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior, may they come. May they humble themselves as well. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Maybe you'd like to sit right where you are. I didn't say amen in that prayer because I want you to say amen to God in your heart. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a faithful, forgiving Father we have. Let's make sure we have a relationship with Him and that we have a right relationship with Him. Maybe there's a couple here and things aren't going so well in your marriage and your home. Everybody thinks things are fine, but you know better. Maybe there's a man here and there's pornography. covering, you're hiding it. It will destroy you and your family. I said to a young man recently, I said this, are you going to have to lose everything to come to your senses? And it looks like that's exactly what's going to happen. But let's don't allow that to be true in our life. It's so unnecessary. So unnecessary. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that the decisions made here tonight would be real. That you would lead God and direct as far as the next step regarding what has been confessed and what needs to be forsaken. Will you give you the glory for that, Father? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm wondering tonight, did anybody here get forgiven by God tonight? Whosoever covers his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. And I want to tell you, in the eyes of God, whatever you confess down here at the altar, that's out of God's mind and out of God's sight, and it ain't never coming back. Amen. And I want to tell you, when you confess your sins to God and get reminded of it again, it's not God convicting you the second time, it's the devil trying to condemn you.
Amen.
And some of us, we pray more like sinners than saints. We pray with the spirit of condemnation. We always got this lagging guilt and this sense of shame. But I want to tell you, whosoever confesses and forsakes, and that's the grace of God too, shall have mercy. And that's what we need tonight, is mercy. So tonight, if God forgave you of something, I'm just telling you, you need to let your emotions catch up with what that transaction that just took place. And there ought to be joy in your heart when you have a felt sense of God's forgiveness and God's acceptance. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're born again, you're accepted in the Beloved. You're a child of God. You've been bought with a price. I'm telling you that God loves you, and he's not in the self-improvement business anyhow. He's in the Christ replacement business. And the fact of the matter is, tonight when it comes prayer time, there ought to be a shout of thanksgiving and gratitude to God for forgiveness of our lousy sins.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes you feel condemned because you're confessing the same sorry thing over and over, and you feel like, well, I don't even deserve to be forgiven. He that confesses and forsakes finds mercy. And he's a merciful God. His thoughts toward you are good and not evil. He's not out to beat you up and beat you down. I'm telling you, he's up to lift you up and get you going in the right direction. And there's forgiveness with God that he might be feared. Well, praise the Lord tonight. You're going to have a wonderful prayer time tonight. So everybody needs to get with their leader, find out what you're doing. And we're going to meet tomorrow morning. Somebody tell me what the schedule is tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I think we have, are we all meeting together, or are we going directly to our places? You think the leader would know what was happening, right? One at a time. Yes. All right, directly to your place. Now, the place is, Joel, can I see that schedule, everybody? Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, tomorrow morning at 9, breakfast, of course, at 7:30. And tomorrow morning, we got three different sessions. Sammy Fry is going to be speaking to the students. Right here in the chapel. So that means if you're a junior high or high school, you're right here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock sharp. Michael Vaughn is going to be speaking to the college age young people, AN 116. Dan Vaughn is going to be leading that. AN 116 college young people. And then all the leaders, we're going to do something different in the morning, 9 o'clock. We want all the leaders to meet together, and we're going to have a challenge on mentoring in the student center. The Servant Center, where we eat over there in the cafeteria, in room 301 at 9 o'clock, all the leaders there. So we're going three ways tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Go directly to your place, be in your place on time. Have a great time tonight, and I think we ought to bow before the Lord before we leave out of here tonight and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Now bow your head tonight. If God forgave you of something tonight, go ahead and thank him right now for it. In fact, thank him for everything he forgave you of right now. You can do it out loud if you want to, or silent in your heart. I don't care. You just talk to God, and let's thank the Lord. When God does something for us, we ought to show our appreciation by entering into his gates with thanksgiving. So spend some time right now with generous praise. Now thank him tonight for the good prayer time that you're going to have in your group and others as well. Thank him that tomorrow is going to be a new day and a great day and new victories and new insights. Let's thank him by faith for what he's going to do in our hearts tomorrow. Thank him for the young people. We've had two or three that came to Jesus today. Thank him for the people that's going to be saved tomorrow. Thank him for the life direction that he's going to give to you and to others in these days. Now, why don't you thank the Lord tonight for your family, for your parents, for your siblings? Just thank God for them. Why don't you thank God for the friends that God's given you? Thank him for the church and the group that cared enough about you to bring you to this event. Thank the Lord for the leaders and the pastors that God's placed in your life. Now let's just thank him by faith. Thanking God is the first step of faith. Let's just thank him by faith for the good things that's going to happen here and later, and the aftermath of these days together. O Lord, your mercy endureth forever. Your name is greatly to be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Father, we just give you thanks. Father, we're thankful. Blessed is he that whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Lord, we know when we cover our sin, it's a shame. But when you cover sin, it's an act of grace. And God, thank you tonight that there is a covering that's adequate to blot our sins out of the sight of God for now and eternity. And Father, I pray for some here that's struggling under a sense of guilt and condemnation, that, Father, they might have a release and sense the blood applied to their hearts, and, Father, might feel the joy of sins forgiven. And, Father, that the hallelujah would come into every one of our hearts in a fresh way in these days. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight. Thank you for the rest you're going to give us. Lord, just overrule in all of these adverse circumstances, which are really very, 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 very light afflictions. Father, overrule all of that. And, Father, tonight, may you get the glory. And we anticipate great things. And we give you thanks. In that powerful name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people who are rejoicing, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You have a great night, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning in your place. Thank you so much.
think it's like me writing, but it honestly was like was the influence of God. Somehow I got lost in space. I'll shut up. I'm not lost.
Are we going?
Yeah.
Okay.
guy members.
Salamore, even though the rest of the guys ignore your talents, I appreciate you greatly. Really, thank you so much. Obviously, this would never work out without Dennis, so appreciate it.